Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth, where we just take a few moments every day to talk about the Word of God and to work our way through books of the Bible and just unfold the story as the Lord gave it. I'm certainly not against, John, a topical study here and there. I think there's value in that. But our purpose at Everyday Truth is simply to go through the Bible the way God gave it.
You know, I think that's a great practice in our life, to go through the Word of God, because as we go through that, we have to deal with everything in the passage. And sometimes if you just treat things topically, you miss some of the things, the nuggets of truth that God has for us.
You really do. The careful line-by-line sequential study of the Bible is going to make sure that all the cracks and crevices are filled in. And if we're not careful, you know, we'll just go to familiar passages. Even sometimes in our Bible reading, we'll kind of skip around and we'll go to, I'm never going to read the minor prophets because I don't understand them. And I'm just going to go to the Psalms, or, and there's nothing wrong with, listen, if you're doing something, that's good. But there's just something about the whole counsel of God's Word.
There sure is, Pastor, and God admonishes us, you know, to know His Word, to know the whole counsel of God. And so it does us very well as believers to read the Bible through and to go verse by verse, line by line, as you mentioned.
So verse by verse, we're in verse 19 of Acts chapter 9, if you want to find your place. And we're in that section where Ananias has gone to this house where Saul has been for 3 days, blind. And Ananias has been told by God that Saul is going to be a great vessel, chosen of God, used of God in a great way for the propagation of the gospel, primarily to the Gentiles, but to the Jews as well. And Saul has been healed. Saul has been filled with the Holy Ghost. Saul has been baptized. So now we pick up the story in verse 19. And when he had baptized, or rather when he had received meat, he was strengthened. So remember, Saul had gone without food and water. He was depleted spiritually, emotionally, physically, and he was just this strong emissary of the high priest had been really brought to his knees, hadn't he?
He surely had, Pastor. You know, I find it interesting here that God does mention that he ate food. And it's interesting how often throughout even the New Testament and the Old Testament, we'll find where God mentions after some work has been done in somebody's life, how they eat food. Mm. You know, God is concerned. As I read this, I think, you know, God, obviously spiritual is important, but God also is concerned about our physical sustenance and eating to serve him.
Yeah, what after Jesus raised Jairus's daughter, he said, give her something to eat.
Yes.
I'm thinking about Elijah,
yes.
You know, when he was running from Jezebel and so fearful that the angel fed him,
yes.
You know, you need to eat and sleep.
Yes.
So yeah, let's certainly not overlook just those practical aspects of the Word of God. So the Bible says in verse 19, then, so he received meat. I'm wondering if you pointed that out, John, because maybe you're hungry. But he received meat and he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway, and this is what's so amazing to me. So he's there in Damascus. The original purpose was to arrest Christians. He has authorization from the high priest. And the Bible says in verse 20, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. That is amazing to me.
It is a very interesting topic here, what God is doing in Saul's life, a very interesting work of the Holy Spirit. You know, Saul knew the Old Testament beyond doubt. We all know that. Saul knew it very well, and he didn't see it correctly. But now that he knows Christ as a Savior, he sees the Old Testament differently, and now he's preaching Christ, using his scriptures he has of that day to show that Jesus Christ is the Messiah.
Do you think that when Ananias healed Saul. And the Bible says the scales fell from his eyes. Now, obviously, he received his physical sight, but he uses that same language when he wrote to the church at Corinth about the blinders and the scales that are over the eyes of the Jews, and that the gospel, the glorious light of the gospel, can't shine in. But when those scales are removed, boy, you see the things that you could never see before.
It is interesting how often the Bible does use things that are physical to teach spiritual truths. I think when he left, Judas went out and it was night. Well, I think that was much more than just physical darkness. I think also was spiritual darkness for Judas. Mm. And here, Paul, you know, the scales are gone in many ways. Like you talk about physically, yes, but spiritually very much so. His whole understanding of the Old Testament is radically changed now with accepting Christ.
Mm. So these Jews in the synagogue that were not believers, these would have been the ones that Paul would have, these would have been his friends. These would have been the ones that received him. They're the ones that don't believe in Christianity. And now he's on the other team trying to convince them to come to Christ.
You have to wonder if that, you know, Saul, without doubt, was very zealous, much more so than a lot of people that were probably around him. And these people who saw Saul as very zealous for Judaism, and maybe even more so than they would have been, now he's a 180 entirely, and now he's serving Christ. It is a great point, Pastor, that his friends would have noticed something different here, and they would have been just shocked beyond measure.
And watch the response to the preaching of Saul in verse 21. But all that heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests?" So the response to the preaching was, we're amazed, not so much at the message, although the message no doubt was amazing and clear, but at the messenger. And herein lies one of the reasons why God was using Saul, because this is just his testimony alone is causing people to pay attention to the message.
That is for sure right, Pastor, how that Saul was very well known, even though it hasn't been, you know, decades since the birth of Christ, since the death of Christ. It hasn't been, you know, 40 years later. It's just been a few years later. But nonetheless, we find that Saul already has earned such a reputation. He's well known for this. But what a great example of the grace of God now, how God can take somebody, change him entirely. And as you mentioned, this would have gotten people's attention about the power of the gospel.
And, you know, your testimony, my friends, is intended by the Lord to be an attention getter. It ought to be obvious to people that when Christ gets in a life, there are some radical things that change. And the more rabid one was for the anti things of God, then when he gets saved, the more obvious that transformation is going to be. Now, obviously, you're not going to see a huge demonstrable transformation in a young child that gets saved. And I think that's the better story, obviously. All my children were saved when they were younger children. I'm so glad for that. But God does use examples like Saul even today to be a wonderful testimony. I'm thinking about Lee Strobel, who wrote The Case for Christ, an antagonistic, agnostic journalist for a Chicago newspaper, who was radically changed by the life-saving power of the gospel.
And you're right, Pastor. Throughout church history, there have been many people who've been often even vehemently opposed, as Paul was, to the gospel of Christ. But God works in their heart. They see the truth of Scripture, and they come to Christ, and then God uses them greatly in the kingdom of Christ.
So the Bible says the people were amazed, but verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. So the increase in strength, we already read that he had been depleted physically, so he was gaining physical strength. But this is so much more than physical strength. The strength here is confidence, We would say confidence, strength in his preaching and his convincing of others. He's just gaining more and more steam as he's representing Jesus.
It is great to see how God works in his life. And already, he hasn't been a Christian for a long time now, but already he is bold for Christ, out there preaching the gospel. And as you mentioned, his faith is growing. He's becoming stronger in the ministry. And I think in our lives, as we exercise our spiritual muscles, we do get strength and we are more effective as we yield to the Holy Spirit in our ministry for Christ.
I like what the Bible says, that he confounded the Jews. And that's not teaching that Paul is trying to win an argument or one up. That's never helpful as we try to witness to people, to try to prove that we're right. But the point is, he's lovingly and patiently demonstrating that this is what the Bible says. Their Bible was the Old Testament. This is what it says. And he would show them the verses in the Old Testament that spoke definitively to the fact that Christ, Messiah, is, and then he would explain it. He's going to suffer. He's going to die. He's going to be pierced. His clothes are going to be sold. He went through all the messianic passages, and he demonstrated right there in black and white that Jesus is the Christ, and people didn't have answers because it's what the Bible says.
It reminds me in Matthew, whenever Jesus asked the Pharisees, who is the Messiah? Whose son is he? And they say, well, the son of David. And then Jesus says, well, how does David then call him Lord? And that confounded the Pharisees, because the Old Testament is clear. Jesus is the Messiah. And yet when they were faced with the verses, they were so prejudiced against that truth, they were left just wondering.
They were left wondering. And that's a great illustration there about Jesus and confronting those religious leaders, because when you look at the way that people taught in those days, today we primarily lecture. We'll get up and preach a 35-minute message, and the preacher speaks or the teacher teaches, and everyone listens. But back in Bible days, it was a lot more give and take. It was asking and receiving questions, and so when people disagreed, they would voice that disagreement. When people had a question, they would ask that question. And the idea of Paul confounding them means, when they were asking questions, he answered them. He brought up things that questions that they could not answer. Confounding means they were just confused about, they had no answer.
I think oftentimes when Jesus spoke with the Jews, which you mentioned, Pastor, how there was that give and take where Christ would say something, they would try to have a rebuttal, but they never could defeat what Jesus was saying. And yet in spite of that, they would not accept Christ. And much of that happens now with the Jews with Paul, where Paul will be preaching and he's going to answer them just fantastically. And yet they don't want to accept Christ. And so they're not going to accept Christ.
The wonderful irony to me of this passage is the fact that Saul was so zealous for Judaism and was so concerned that Christianity had mushroomed out of Jerusalem. And Saul needed to go to Damascus because this thing can't, we got to stop the spread, right? We got to stop the spread. So he's going to Damascus to stop the spread of Christianity. And now what we're seeing is he is the agent of the spread of Christianity in Damascus, as people cannot refute his sound biblical teaching.
That's a great observation, Pastor. And it's great to see how God is working using this man who's on his way to do the church harm. And yet God now has worked in his life, and God will use him to bring many people to Christ. And now many people will get fired up against Christ even when Paul preaches, and yet he will now be a great ambassador of reconciliation.
So my friends, what a great example for you and me. So Saul was saved. Immediately after he was saved, his life was all about representing Christ, being a testimony for the name of Christ. He opened his mouth. He told people what Christ had done for him. So we see him proving that Jesus is the very Christ by his words, by the strength of his teaching, but then by his testimony. And that's what God wants to do in your life, in my life. He wants to use our unique testimony, the words of truth that we share with others to demonstrate the power of God in any life, to save them, to change them, to show them that Jesus is the Christ. So I hope that helps today, my friends. Have a great day in the Lord. I hope you have opportunities even today to represent the name of Jesus Christ. God bless, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.